Amen. I told you I'd do it Wednesday, but Wednesday, I'm going to tell you again. I don't care what the news says or what the governor says or what the president says. God wants you to be fat. We take some comfort in that tonight. Amen. It's declared that God wants you to be fat. Now you don't need to take that without hearing the whole story now. Amen. But so Wednesday night, I'm going to tell you why God wants you to be fat. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. When we were teaching at TBC a few years ago, we had a young girl in our class. Her name was Faith. And this was her favorite verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. She quoted that to several young men. I don't know if it ever worked, but she did try to use the word of the Lord deceitfully, I believe. Amen. But faith is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. And then they launched from that into what we call the faith chapter. And example after example, person after person, he gives the example of faith, and faith answered. Amen. But tonight I want to address this facet of faith. And that is, I want to talk about saving faith. Saving faith. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. All of us have faith. Every human being has faith. There's not a person walking on the face of the earth that doesn't have faith. Everybody has faith. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Just not everybody has faith in God. There are people that have faith in Texas Electric Company. As long as you pay the bill, you expect it to work. You ever been turned on the light switch, it didn't come on, and you were surprised? Why were you surprised? Because you had faith in the electric company. Have you ever gone out to your automobile and turned the key, and it didn't start, and you were shocked because you had faith in the automobile maker? That automobile would start when you turned the key. So you had faith in that it was going to happen, and you're surprised when it doesn't happen. Amen. And wouldn't it be good if we had faith in God? Amen. And we just believe that when we pray, it's going to happen. But isn't it true that sometimes we're surprised when God answers a prayer? Amen. It's not that we're surprised when He doesn't. We're surprised when He actually does it. Hey, that really worked. Amen. So I want to talk to you tonight about faith in God, and particularly I want to talk to you about saving faith. Amen. Praise God. The reason God gives faith particularly to human beings is because He wants us to be saved. God desires to save people. In my, the power of saving faith. It is a creative faith. It is a transforming faith. It can literally turn a sinner into a saint. It can take a warped mind, a perverse mind, a perverse nature, and give it a clean, wholesome, holy, pure mind and pure nature. That's a miracle, folks. That cannot be accomplished on the couch of a psychiatrist. That cannot be taken in a pill form, in a shot, or in a bottle. The only place you can get that kind of a transformation is from God Himself. Hallelujah. Hey, there's something to this saving faith tonight. Anybody here, have you experienced saving faith? Amen. I've heard people time after time. See, You just can't change like that. You're right. Reformation won't do it. Amen. But I'll tell you what will do it. Saving faith. Hallelujah. Amen. You can come down to an altar in one condition and one kind of a person, and you can leave a whole different kind of a person. That's the power of saving faith. Amen. And it works. Hallelujah. Time and time and time again, God responds to faith. Hallelujah. Amen. We preached a message one time. What is greater, your faith or your need? I believe God responds to both. Because the Bible said, my God shall supply all your need. Amen. According to Christ Jesus. Amen. He will supply your needs, but he does that by faith. Amen. God loves to find faith. And where he finds faith, that's where he works. God twice in the scripture stepped out of the boundaries of his mission. Jesus came to the earth. He said, I am come but to the lost house of Israel. Now he quoted that to a little old lady that wouldn't give up. She came crying and saying, Lord, my daughter is sick and she has a devil, and I know that you can do something. You can deliver her. Help me, Lord. Honey tried everything. He called her a dog. That wouldn't do it. He said, I've come to only the house of Israel. That didn't do it. She just kept on believing. She just kept on praising. She just kept on worshiping. Hallelujah. And finally, Jesus said, not so great faith have I found. No, not in Israel. Amen. I came to Israel. Israel's had the word of God for centuries. Israel has worshipped and known God for centuries. But I've never found faith like this anywhere in Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. So God responded to the Syrophoenician woman's faith. We don't even know her name. But we know her faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. And there was a centurion, a Gentile, that came to Jesus, and he said, my servant is sick. And Jesus said to that man, he said, I will come and heal him. He said, oh, no, 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 no. He said, I'm unworthy that you should even walk under the roof of my house. He said, but if you'll just speak the word, my servant shall be healed. That was saving faith. Amen. And Jesus was surprised at that kind of faith. He couldn't find that kind of faith in his disciples. Matter of fact, one time he was so frustrated, he said, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he even find faith on the earth? So it's no wonder that when God finds faith, he moves toward it. He's drawn to it. Amen. He gets excited about it when he finds somebody that believes him. Amen. Praise God. In the time of Abraham, his ancestors, his kindred, his household, they all worshipped idols. But there was something in the heart of Abram, I don't know, coming from God. And he worshipped an invisible God. He did not worship a God or an image that was made with hands, but he worshipped an invisible God. Amen. And you and I today still worship an invisible God. You can't see him, but you know what? You can feel him. The presence of the Lord is here. I can feel it in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. That's how you know that he's here. Now let me give you a better way to know the word that the way the Lord is here. There are times the Lord will be here and you will not feel it. But I'm going to tell you how you can always know the presence of the Lord is with you. because he said so. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You know God is with you because he simply said he would be. Amen. So you can believe that whether you feel him or not, whether you're shouting or not, whether you're excited or not, whether you feel any ounce of anything, you can know that God is with you. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. One of the most exciting things that I remember in ministry was in Colombia. We did a children's service up in Santa Marta on the coast. And it was in a school. We'd been having classes all week. And there were a lot of children there, probably 300 or 400. And they were not church kids. They were school kids. And we'd been teaching them vacation Bible school. We'd been talking to them about the Holy Ghost, that you can have the Holy Ghost. We actually had some boys sneak off to go to a prayer meeting. Now, I know kids sneaking off a lot, but that's the first time that I ever knew kids to sneak off to a prayer meeting. But we had some boys sneak off to pray. You talk about a heart hunger. Amen. Those kids were hungry for something from God, and they were not Pentecostal kids. Amen. But they wanted this Holy Ghost we've been talking about. We were in a time pinch. We only had 20 minutes. The administrator of the school said, well, you can have 20 minutes is all you've got, and then you've got to close. Amen. We invited, just gave an altar call, and the kids came down. You didn't feel any Holy Ghost in that place. We hadn't been shouting and praising like we've been doing here tonight. It was just kids. But they came down and they were acting like kids. They were pushing and shoving and giggling and carrying on. But we said, everybody close your eyes. And we got them to close their eyes. And we said, lift up your hands. And I want you to start telling Jesus that you love him. And they started doing that. And then we led them in repentance and taught them how to repent. And they did that. And it wasn't but a few moments until tears started running down the cheeks of children. Amen. And the Holy Ghost started falling. Amen. And in just that short 20-minute period, 80 kids that had never been to a Pentecostal church received the baptism of the Holy Ghost because God saw some saving faith in the hearts and lives of children. Amen. It taught me a big lesson, Brother Hart. Amen. That you don't have to feel anything. It doesn't matter how well you preached or how good you thought you did. That doesn't even matter. That's not even part of the equation. Amen. You know, sometimes preachers preach and you think you did pretty good. Other times you preach and you think you did real bad. Amen. But you know what? It's the Word of God. It's not about the preacher in the pulpit. It's about the Word of God that went forth. And God is still able to reach out into a congregation and reach somebody and bring them to saving faith. Somebody asked a young man one time, they said, who preached when you got the Holy Ghost? He said, I don't know. They said, what did he preach? He said, I don't know. He said, all I know is I wanted the Holy Ghost, and I couldn't wait to get down there and get it. He was kind of glad when he hushed so he could get down there and pray. Amen. Praise God. Hey, let me remind us tonight, it's not about me, and it's not about you, and it's not about what you feel, but it's about God's Word, and it's about saving faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of the greatest altar services I've seen is when there wasn't a whole lot seemingly going on, but God just stepped in. Amen. And saved, because he found faith in somebody's heart and in somebody's life. God found faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. This verse gives us tonight a great parallel and a great prescription for faith when he said, it is impossible, without faith it is impossible to please him. How many want to please the Lord? For he who comes to God, now how can you come to God unless you believe in God? Because God is a spirit. And you cannot come to a spirit unless you believe in him. Hallelujah. I've heard people make that statement. I'll come to God when I get ready. Oh, really? And just how do you propose to find him? He's invisible. And unless he reveals himself to you, you will not find him. And unless he draws you by his spirit, you cannot come to him. This is not about me. This is not about you. This is all about him. Amen. Praise God. So he that comes to God must believe that he is. That just makes good sense. That you got to believe that there's a God before you make any progress coming to him. And let me just remind you tonight, if a person believes in God, that's good. He may not know his name. That's your job to tell him. He may not know God as you know God. He may think there's two or three or more of him. He may not have the experience that you have or the knowledge that you have. But with genuine humility and with compassion, we need to find where people are and lead them further. Amen. Apollos was a great preacher. And he was already preaching when Aquila and Priscilla found him and explained to him the way more clearly. They did not destroy what he had. They added to what he had. A soul winner is wise when they don't destroy what a person has, but they add to what a person has. Amen. Meet them where they are and bring them further. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've met people of all kinds of persuasions, all kinds of religions that did believe in God, loved God in the way that they knew God, and were excited when they found out there was more of him than what they had known in the past. Amen. But don't offend people by trying to destroy what they have. Amen. That will build a chasm, and what you're trying to do is build a bridge to get them to Christ. And so saving faith begins where you are in your faith with God. Hallelujah. Could I say this tonight? When all of us come to God, our faith was imperfect. Our faith is still imperfect. Amen. I said our faith is still imperfect. I thank God for the faith that we have and how it has grown and increased. But I don't know about you, but I'm still trying to grow in faith. Hallelujah. And you are too, whether you know it or not, because God will see to it that you do. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Saving faith. How can we believe in God? Paul answers that question in his letter to the Romans. Romans chapter number 10. Verse number 13 said, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Now, and then he goes on in verse number 14, and he said, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You see, if you call on the Lord, you will be saved. But how do you call on the Lord if you don't believe in the Lord? Amen. And then he said, and how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And then he goes on to say, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. So there are some elements that are necessary for a person to have saving faith. Amen. Paul mentioned in one place, and I say this humbly tonight, he said, I exalt mine office. When a preacher talks about his office, he's not talking about himself. So when we talk about a preacher being important, we're not talking about Brother Grissom or Brother Hart. We're just talking about the office of ministry. Amen. And the office of ministry is important. Let me tell you how important it is. The Lord said in the book of Isaiah, he said, I sought for an intercessor. Amen. That they should not perish. He said, but I could not find one. And so God rained judgment because he couldn't find a preacher. Amen. Praise God. And so it is important that you have a minister, a preacher in your life. You need one. I don't know. The Bible just simply says, for God hath chosen. That means he had a choice. For God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God chose the method of preaching to save people. And it's God's choice. So a preacher in your life is important. Somebody that will bring you the word of the Lord. Because the Bible said faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now, so a person before they believe, they have to have faith. And after they have faith and they believe, then they can call on him in whom they believe. So you see, there is a process that is going forth here in order for a person to be saved. Amen. It comes, first of all, by hearing. Hallelujah. Amen. I think it's important still that we preach the gospel. How about you? This is important tonight. What we're doing right here in this service is important tonight. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I think we need to be in the house of the Lord every opportunity we get. What would you pay for one word from God? How important is one word from God? The chances are great that you're going to hear a word from God in a service from a preacher. Amen. So when you're going through something in your life and you need to hear from God, it just makes sense that you need to be present. Did you ever see that little slogan that says, you must be present to win? Makes sense, doesn't it? This is not a lottery. Amen. Praise God. This is not a drawing. But you still got to be present to win. Have you ever heard somebody say, my, woo, I wish you would have heard that last night. I wish you would have heard that message last night. My, I know what you've been going. Boy, if you just could have heard that. And you think, man, I wish I would have heard that. Amen. Praise God. And guess what? You could have heard that. It's just simply a matter of arranging our priorities in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. For the most part, there are a few times that we cannot arrange to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And so saving faith, that it comes by the word of the Lord. It comes by hearing the word of the Lord. Amen. And preachers tonight, let me encourage you to preach the word of the Lord. Let me encourage you to preach the word of the Lord. If it's not popular, preach the word of the Lord. If it's not exciting, preach the word of the Lord. If it's not what you want to do, preach the word of the Lord. Amen. God will confirm his word. God will confirm his word. He'll not conform your word or your opinions or your philosophies or your ideas, but he will confirm his word. Amen. So preach the word. Amen. That's what's vital, and that's what's important, and that's what is life, is the word of the Lord. Amen. James is a practical man. James was a, what shall we call him, half-brother of Jesus Christ. The one that wrote the book of James, the epistle of James. Chapter 2, verse 14, he asked a question. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? That's an interesting question, isn't it? James is proposing that we have faith and works together. And he gives this interesting example. He said, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Somebody's starving to death, and you say, be filled, my brother. I don't care how pious you are. It doesn't matter how much you talk in tongues. Amen. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are. If you don't give him something to eat, you have not helped him, and your faith is in vain. If he's freezing to death and his body's turning blue with the cold and you don't give him something to cover himself and warm himself, it doesn't matter how loud you holler it or how much you dance when you say it or how much Holy Ghost you say you have, your faith is vain. Amen. So you see, James is drawing a picture here of what real faith is. Amen. There is really no such thing as faith without works. Do you remember in the Bible when Jesus was in a house and the house was packed, and these four men had a friend that was lame, and they were trying to get this paralytic man to Jesus? And so the Bible says that they crawled up on top of the house and pulled that man up on top of the house, and they pulled back the tiles on the top of the house, and they started letting that man down to where they heard Jesus. And the Bible says something really interesting there. It says, and when Jesus saw their faith. Now, how could Jesus see faith? He sees faith because of their works. He sees their faith because of their obedience. Now, God told Noah to build an ark. Noah could have said, all right, God, I'll build an ark. But unless he built an ark, he would have drowned. There were some works involved in his faith. You can't just repeat what God says and call it faith. You have to obey what God says. It's not something just a simple act of saying some words. Amen. Praise God. There's more to it than just speaking a few things. God says certain things, and our obedience to God is what God sees as our faith. Not only what we hear and what we say, but what we do. When the Lord told Israel to march around the walls of Jericho, they had to march. And it was work. It was work. When he told the servants to fill up the water pots, those water pots, as I understand, held about 25 gallons apiece, and they were drawing water out and pouring it in there. Amen. About 125 gallons or so. That's a lot of water to draw. Amen. But that's works. They were doing what he told them to do, and their faith was rewarded. When he turned all of that 125 gallons of water into wine. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, I'm talking about your faith and how you demonstrate your faith by your works. Amen. And by your obedience to what the Lord said. Praise God. God told the leper, he said, go show yourself to the priest. In one place it says, and as they went. Woo! As they went, they began to notice the changes. Glory. Amen. As they went, they began to notice the changes. Praise the Lord. They were doing what the Lord said. Don't you know it was exciting to watch the change in their life? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So you see, faith in being the Jim, I get his name right here. James says that faith without works is dead. Just like the body without a spirit is dead, faith without works or without demonstration is dead. So it is important then, not only that we repeat what the Lord says, but that we do what the Lord says. He mentions here that the devils believe. Are they saved? No. Because they cannot act on their faith. They cannot demonstrate their faith. Now they know God's real, but God has not made an avenue of salvation for them as he has for us. Amen. So how then do we demonstrate saving faith? Just by believing God's word. Isn't it simple? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's really very simple. You demonstrate saving faith by obeying the gospel. Amen. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached. People were convicted of their sins. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. That's part of being saved. Repent. That's not all of it, but that's part of it. Repent means to turn from sin to God. From something to something. From sin to God. Amen. You can't just turn from sin. You got to turn to God. Amen. The Bible said a vessel that remains empty will get seven spirits worse than the first and come back to an empty vessel. So you can't just turn from sin. You got to turn to God. Amen. And so he said, repent. That's the first thing. And then the second part of saving faith, he said, be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Amen. So you see, that's saving faith, isn't it? Baptism is not, some people say, well, that's works. No, that's not works. That's obedience. That's doing what the Lord said. Amen. You're not saved because you go in the water. This water is just from the Athens lake or wherever it comes from. It has no magical powers in it. It's just wet. It's just water. Amen. Baptisms are just a ritual. Amen. Except it's empowered because it's obeying what Jesus said. Hallelujah. So whenever you get in this common, plain, everyday, ordinary water and you go down under that water in faith in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, he washes your sins away. Hallelujah. Praise God. And something as common as water, God uses in washing away sins. Amen. Just because it's saving faith. It's just doing what Jesus said. And he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's part of the salvation. Amen. You see, that's saving faith. Amen. I meant to bring my flashlight out here and I forgot it. But you know, if you have a flashlight and, and you walk around without turning it on, said, this flashlight really works. This is a good flashlight. Boy, this is a bright flashlight. This thing is so bright. Boy, it works great. And you can stumble through the night with holding that flashlight. This is the best flashlight I've ever owned. I believe it's the best flashlight that's ever been made. I recommend this flashlight to everybody. But until you turn it on, it don't do you any good. Talk about it all you want to. Stumble and be bruised and fall all you want to. Turn on the light. It's not hard, is it? Amen. But some people like that with their faith. They talk about being saved. Talk about getting saved. Quit talking and start acting. Saving faith. Amen. It involves something on your part. Amen. Hallelujah. We do the simple thing and God does the impossible thing. We do what He tells us to do, and God does what we cannot do. Amen. When we repent, He forgives us. And whenever we're baptized, He blots out our sins, the whole record of them, never to be remembered against us again. And when we open our mouth in faith, He fills us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives us the utterance. Woo! Hallelujah! Saving faith. It works. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. Thank God for saving faith. Hallelujah. James said, you show me your faith without your works. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise God. Saving faith. Saving faith. Amen. It calls for some demonstration. It calls for some demonstration. Amen. I read about a man in Korea. He wanted a bicycle. He was a preacher. He didn't ask for a car. He just asked for a bicycle. He didn't have any money to buy one. And he said, Lord, I believe that you can just give me a bicycle. And when he prayed that, he really got serious. He really started believing it. He said, you know what? I believe God's going to give me a bicycle. And he started telling his friends, God's going to give me a bicycle. And they laughed at him. And they said, we don't see a bicycle. He said, well, you know what? He said, when a mother's expecting a baby, you don't see a baby either for a while. He said, but if you'll just wait long enough, you'll see the baby. And they said, oh, you're expecting a bicycle, are you? He said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. He didn't know how he was going to get a bicycle, but he really believed that God was going to give him the bicycle. One day there were some Americans that were leaving Korea going home, and they were loading up their truck. And he walked by there, and there was a bicycle waiting to be loaded. And they said, we don't have any room for this bicycle. We don't have any room for this bicycle. Amen. He said, well, could I have the bicycle? They said, well, yes. We don't have any room for the bicycle. Amen. And you know what? His friend saw him the next time he was riding a bicycle. Amen. Praise God. I know some people don't understand faith. They don't understand that. Well, you know, if God healed you, you wouldn't have any symptoms. Well, you might. Amen. You might still have a few symptoms even after you've claimed your healing, even after you believe the Lord healed you. Sometimes you gotta walk by faith a little while. Amen. Praise God. Brother Robin Schutz was in a motorcycle accident. Shattered his leg. I don't remember how many in one of his bones were shattered more than 20-some times. It was just pulverized. The doctor said, "You'll never walk. You can't walk." Guess what? He started praying, and somebody prayed for him, and he believed he was going to walk, and he started walking. But his one leg was about an inch or two shorter than the other leg. And he said, "God, you can make these legs the same length." Hallelujah. You know what? It didn't happen overnight, but he kept praying and believing. "God, I want you to make this leg, make them the same." Does that work, Sister Covey? Amen. It worked for her. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so God touched Brother Schutz, and we saw him at the conference. You'd never know that the man ever had anything wrong with him. Amen. Praise God. I'm just saying tonight that faith works. Calls sometimes for some obedience, some demonstration, but it works. Amen. Believe him. Believe him. It's all right to have faith tonight. It's okay to believe God tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is still in the healing business. God is still in the saving business. Amen. God is still in the delivering business. God is still in the providing business. Whatever you have need of tonight, you can bring it to the Lord. Amen. Don't come telling God what to do, but come calling on him. Hallelujah. Amen. And come listening to him. Praise the Lord. How about it tonight? Somebody have a need that you'd like to step out tonight and bring it to Jesus? God, I have a need in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe that you'll help me tonight. You can do what no one else can do. God, I have a need. Let me bring it to you. Let me lay it before you. Hallelujah. Bring it to the Lord tonight. Come on, saints of God. Let's just come with faith in the Lord tonight. Oh, yes. Just come in faith to the Lord tonight. You know him. He knows you. You love him. He loves you. Hallelujah. Just come with your faith tonight. Amen. Jesus, I'm vulnerable here tonight. I'm opening myself. Hallelujah. Amen. I am exposing my need to you tonight. I am giving you something very dear to me. I'm asking for your help tonight, God, in a very special way. Hallelujah. That's it. Just bring it to Jesus. Yes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 That's it. That's it. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, seeketh, findeth, and everyone who knocks, it shall be opened. Amen. That's it, folks. Just ask him tonight. Seek him tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. That's it. Just give it to Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. God, you see our needs. We have needs of healing in this house. People that are sick in bodies. And you said with your stripes we're healed. We declare it tonight. Ooh, hallelujah. Yes. We command in the name of Jesus Christ for sickness to flee. Amen. We command in the name of Jesus Christ healing tonight. in sick bodies. Amen. Brothers and sisters that couldn't even attend this service tonight because of sickness, we bind that. We command it to flee. Amen. We claim in this moment victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we have people tonight that are unemployed, that need jobs. Hallelujah. And I'm asking you right now, God, that you'll give them the exact employment that they need, the right place that you have prepared for them. Amen. Open a door in the name of Jesus Christ. Supply those needs. God, we have people here tonight that have needs of direction for their lives, protection for their lives. I ask you right now that you would provide, that you would guide, that you would lead, that you would open doors of opportunity, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight. Amen. God, that we would hear the specific voice of the Lord and word from God. Amen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That every person tonight would have the faith to receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. The courage to believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. The obedience to prove it. We ask it tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. 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 That's it. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Te amo, Señor Jesús. Te amo. Te necesito.
As we magnify.
Hallelujah.
Your name.
Oh, yes. Te amo, Señor mi Dios. Te amo, Señor Dios. Amen.
As we magnify.
Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
You deserve the glory.
Oh, yes, Jesus.